I'm Ray Barry, and this is the Audio Wave Cafe podcast. On this episode, my guest is Max Ash, store manager of Sam Ash Musical Instruments in New York. First, I talk about why artists and bands cancelling their shows and tours, and I shine a spotlight on American ska. Oh, and also be playing an original song co-written by Max Ash, Crying in the Club. Let's move on. Recently, I bought a couple of tickets to see Crowded House in New York, only to have the show cancelled a week or so before the performance date. Now, I know there are many reasons artists and bands have been cancelling shows and tours post-COVID. As for Crowded House, the drummer had injured his back, and so the band cancelled their 21-day North American tour. I don't wish to disparage the band, but why not get another drummer in? Whatever happened to the show must go on principle? I think, though, there may be more to the story. The band Animal Collective and Rage Against the Machine recently cancelled their European tours. Basically, their numbers didn't add up, and their tours would be financially unviable. Some of the reasons given were sky-high transportation and insurance costs, and currency devaluation. Many American acts touring the UK have seen their incomes plummet along with the pound-to-dollar exchange rate. Coming out of COVID lockdowns in America and UK, artists and bands have experienced a new reality. Enticing your audience to come and see your show after they spent 2 years virtually behind closed doors has proved difficult. In taking into account the hike in fuel costs, transport and equipment hire, hotels and flights, some acts have decided it's better to pull out of the shows and tours, never mind the physical and mental health issues that today is now openly talked about. Shawn Mendes, Justin Bieber and Arlo Parks have all cancelled tours because going through with them they felt would have had a major effect on their mental health. I've also covered mental health issues in the music industry in a couple of podcasts. It's good that the industry as a whole is taking the subject seriously. Well, we'll see how that develops. If you are a professional performer, I can understand it must be scary to try and make a living in the music business today. Not that it was ever easy, paydays have always been erratic, or even non-existent in the best of times. Is the music performance industry in crisis? Has music streaming devalued music, and are promoters pricing out ordinary fans with rocketing ticket prices to see top acts? Now as for Crowded House, my old drummer was available for the American tour. For the price of a pizza and a couple of beers, I'm sure we'd happily have filled in for the band's incapacitated drummer. Now save me the hassle of trying to convince Ticketmaster I actually wanted my money back. I met today's guest on a recent trip to New York at a music store on 34th Street, close to Madison Square Garden. He was really helpful and friendly, and we spent some time talking about stuff. It was only when I got back to the UK that I decided to invite him for an interview. Here with me now, all the way from New York, sales manager of the flagship 34th Street shop, Max Ash of Sam Ash Music Stores. Thanks for joining me today, Max.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
You're welcome. With a name like that, you have to be related to Sam Ash.
You are 100% correct. I am. I am related via blood. My great-grandfather named Sam Ash, the original Sam Ash, and my great-grandmother, Rose, started the company in 1924. And I am currently fourth generation working in one of the stores. And my father, Sam, is named after my great-grandfather. So we have another Sam. We don't know who the next Sam will be.
That's great. With his wife, Rose, Sam opened his first music store in 1924. Today, Sam Ash Music Stores are in 45 locations across 16 states, employing more than 1,800 people. Yet, it's still family-owned. That has to be a proud achievement.
It's an extremely proud achievement. I mean, there's not a lot of companies that can brag about the fact that they've been around for almost 100 years and are still owned by the family that started it. And so I am very proud to call myself an Ash, as we are a company that I personally believe is loved by its customers. Because we have a very personal touch to everything that we do. like you can get in touch with the owners or anyone with the last name Ash with a quick phone call if you have a problem. And it's keeping that many people employed and keeping all those stores open for this long is, I personally consider it a feat of business. I'm very proud to call myself an Ash and to be part of this company, especially like a business as cool as the music business.
Absolutely. Max, during COVID restrictions, it must have been a difficult period for the business.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of the beginning of COVID. I mean, it was difficult for everyone at the beginning of COVID. When no one knew what was going on and like everything was being shut down. There was no one doing business in the stores particularly. We still had like some online stuff going on, but we were still figuring it out. As stores opened up and people were wearing masks, it was still difficult because like any other company with brick and mortar stores, like you have to deal with customers that don't want to come in because they're scared, and rightfully so. There are people that wanted to come in but didn't want to wear masks. Like you have to enforce those rules. And so those people would get upset. It's very hard at the beginning, but we maintained our integrity and our rules and our relationship with the customers. And like we ended up being just fine. We're doing better than we've done in like a really long time, which is fantastic.
That's great. Have your stores found it hard to compete with online retailers?
I wouldn't say it's been hard to compete with online retailers. I don't think my dad coined this term, but it's a term that he told me. So we're a considered click and mortar. So we're on the ground and then we're also in the cloud.
Yeah.
And so we're competing with companies like Guitar Center and Music and Arts and Sweetwater online. And like they do very well online, but we're also doing very well online. And so I also feel like the greatest thing about having a company like a music retail shop is that unlike a lot of other companies, people like to come in and try the things that they're going to buy. People like to come in and talk to someone about, like, if it's like a piano or just they have questions about a guitar or something like that. It's great to have that person-to-person relationship that sets us apart from online retailers. I don't know. You don't need to go to a grocery store. A lot of people like to, I don't know, look at the meats, but like you're ordering Boar's Head turkey, you know what you're going to get. It's going to be Boar's Head turkey. If you want to order like a Gibson 335, like you want to go into the store and you want to try that Gibson 335 to get a feel for it, because you don't know if what's going to show up to your door is going to be the same feeling that you have in your head. And so I feel like in terms of like competing with strictly online retailers, we kind of have that edge on them. People like to try stuff. Our slogan is come in and play. And there's a reason for that. Like, we want people to come in. We want people to try things.
Well, this is it, yeah. But I suppose you must get customers that will come and play something. Yeah, they like the instrument, but then go home and, say, order it online.
Yeah, I mean, that's unavoidable. It's going to happen. But a lot of people are also impatient, and they come in, and they're like, oh, man, I love the feeling of this, especially, like, off-the-wall guitars. People will pull a guitar off the wall. And if you then want the same one in a box, not going to feel the same. Every guitar is different. So you get people that come in, they try it, and they're like, oh, I fell in love with this particular guitar. They buy that guitar. They don't want to go home and risk the chance of something showing up to their door that just doesn't feel the same as the thing that they played. So we have that edge as well.
Is there anything different about Samash stores than, say, Guitar Center, who are another nationwide music store in America?
The big thing that's the difference between us and stores like Guitar Center, or just Guitar Center specifically, is that we are family-owned. They're publicly owned. And so, like I said earlier, we have a very personal touch to everything that we do. And like our CEOs and like CEO, like all the upper brass know most of the names of everyone in the company. And there are people that have been working for us for 30 plus years. Whereas like, I don't know, I can't say the same for Guitar Center. I don't know who works for them. I don't hang out with them a lot. But like, we have that like personal familial touch. And if, like I said, a customer is unhappy about something and they need to get in touch with an Ash, they can. Like, that's a thing. Like, you can't get in touch with Mr. Center because he doesn't exist.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Would you agree the music instrument market is expected to grow at least 2% annually over the next few years?
What I've seen in the stores recently, I would agree with that. People have been coming in droves ever since COVID has been dying down a little bit, and people have just been buying more and more instruments and more equipment. We've had such busy days, like days that I've never seen, and I've been working in this store for almost a decade. And so a 2% growth is something that I would absolutely bet on, that there would be a growth of that.
The reason why I asked is because also we're seeing on both sides of the Atlantic is that there are music stores that are shutting all the time. So I mentioned to you, I believe, one in Coventry that shut because of rising rents. They couldn't afford to stay.
The thing that my father has told me, and I completely believe because he's not a liar, he says that when it comes to rent and paying our bills, we have never missed a payment. And so we have a lot of trust with all of the companies that work with us and all of the landlords that work with us. And so if it ever comes down to the fact that, like, oh no, we need to like miss a month or something like that, I feel like we'll be able to stay open a lot longer than other companies if it ever did come down to that, which I don't think it will. But we've garnered so much goodwill over 98 years that we're in pretty good graces with most people.
Have you noticed any changes in what musical instruments or equipment people have been looking to buy over the last 12 months?
Actually, yeah. Maybe like over the last 24 months, like when COVID was really in full swing, a lot of people at the beginning, like pre-COVID, were buying a lot of guitars and like acoustic, electric, basses. That was prevalent, but the rise of DJ equipment and MIDI controllers and just studio equipment in general, and keyboards as well. People have been taking up piano to a very interesting degree. Like that has been, those have been the biggest sellers in our stores. People have been like really wanting to make their own like beats and whatnot, and also I guess practice piano. Like people wanted to pick up that instrument in particular. We've been selling a lot of keyboards.
Oh, that's excellent. So you keep your finger on the pulse of what people are looking to buy, and do you get more stuff in your store? Do you put more of those things in your catalogs or anything?
Oh, sure. I mean, well, we don't have catalogs anymore. Everything's online, which has actually upset a lot of people. People love the catalogs, but it's an online world as well. So it's where we move towards that. But I don't know, maybe we'll bring the catalogs back because people really do like them.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's, I see what comes in and out every day. I'm up at the front a lot. And also I get reports of the top sellers and whatnot. And you can see trends. You can see where things like move up and down on lists and what the most popular items are. And a lot, most popular items are a lot are like DJ equipment and pianos.
Max, do you play an instrument yourself?
I do. I can play a little bit of everything. Like if you cloned me five times, I could start a very rudimentary band. I can like sing a bit. I can play guitar a bit, bass a bit, piano, drums. Would we take over the world? No. Would we be able to play your cousin's quinceañera? Absolutely. We would do such a good job and people would love us. But like I'm okay. My brother is a insanely talented guitarist, and my dad has become a insanely talented guitarist. He just practices all the time. He got like really serious a couple of years ago and got very, very good. And my uncle is a fantastic guitarist and drummer. My other uncle is a clarinet player, or he plays the flute. He plays a woodwind instrument, and I cannot remember what, and I hope he doesn't listen to this. but like, yeah, most people in our family can at least keep rhythm.
Okay, but you're not in a band.
I can't say no. Every once in a while, I do a cover band called Keezer, and what we do is we play Weezer's first album back to front, but we have two keytar players in the band, which is why we're called Keezer, and it's very fun. I really enjoy it a lot.
Over the years, you must have had some famous musicians visit the store.
Oh my gosh, yes. Not even just famous musicians, just like well-known people that love music. In most recent memory, we've had Robert Downey Jr. came into the store to buy his son a bass. He was unbelievably kind. Him, his son, his assistant, and what I'm assuming was a bodyguard because the guy was like 6'10". But he was like such a dad about everything, and he was like, oh my God, can I help you with that? And I was like, you can help me with whatever you want. You're Robert Downey Jr., cool. Whatever, man. but we've had like the rapper Logic came in not too long ago, and he was so sweet. But we've also had like Shaq came into the store once. He is a gigantic man. Oh my gosh. I thought I was big. I'm not compared to him. I'm 6'5". That guy is like 7'8". I don't know. He's humongous. one of my favorite stories of all time that I cannot stop telling because it's unbelievable that this happened. My manager came up to me and he was like, hey, just a heads up, sometime today, Stevie Wonder might come to the store and we're going to have to like, you know, help him out with whatever he needs. And I was like, yeah, we will. Don't worry about it. And it got to be around closing time. And I was at the store at the time I was taking pictures for the used website and he hadn't shown up. And I was like, well, you know, people say that they come in and then they don't come in. And I was taking pictures in the office. I look up, it's past closing, and all of a sudden, there's Stevie Wonder playing on a keyboard with his handler and his crew. And I was like, okay. And I stopped what I was doing. I introduced myself. He was, of course, very, very nice. His handler was so nice. And he was performing, I think, on like Jimmy Fallon the next night or some show. So he was there to like pick out a keyboard. And while this was like so cool, the coolest thing that happened was that when they were like getting all the equipment from the basement and packing up the car, it was the night of Obama's farewell speech. And so I sat about 6 feet away from Stevie Wonder and we listened to Obama's farewell speech together. And it was just a very surreal moment for me. It was very cool.
Well, I was going to ask you, are there any memorable moments you can recall? But you've just mentioned one.
Yeah, that one for sure is very, very memorable. We've had so many memorable moments. We've had so many very cool clinics. Like we've had just recently, we had our first clinic back since COVID, Nita Strauss, who is Demi Lovato's now current touring guitarist and Alice Cooper's ex-touring guitarist. And she was so kind, so sweet, and was such a rock star and gave such a good clinic. And it's the third time she's been there. And every single time people show up and people freaking love her. And we've had like Paul Stanley from Kiss come into the store. Yeah. And that was a very good clinic. It's just a cool place. I feel very blessed to work in this particular store in this particular city because a lot of cool stuff goes down.
Well, as I said, it's very close to Madison Square Garden. You must get people drifting in all the time.
Yeah. All the time. We're also right next to Hammerstein Ballroom, which is a huge venue. It's literally next door to the store. And every once in a while, like someone in a band that's playing will just like come in and be like, hey, I'm going to try out your stuff, maybe buy something and then play it on stage tonight. And it's like, all right, man, yeah, you do what you gotta. That's cool.
Is it your intention to stay in the family business?
I mean, as of now, yeah. I mean, I'm very happy with what I'm doing. I'm learning a lot. I am very proud to be an Ash. I love, recently I've been doing a lot of sales on top of managing, and I'm just getting that side of it. And it's fun. Like I could be part of the washing machine business and it wouldn't be fun, but unless, some people are very into washing machines. I don't know. But I am very into music, and I feel like I was born into a very fortunate situation where I am part of a family that does something very cool. It would not make me unhappy to continue in this business.
Max, this is a perfect moment to finish with our interview. It's been an absolute pleasure having you as my guest. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure to have you as a host.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Ray. I really appreciate that.
I think it's fair to say that America and the UK have for more than 60 years embraced and enriched each other's music culture. The biggest impact America had on Britain was rock and roll, with Bill Haley and the Comets breaking into the British charts in 1955 with Rock Around the Clock. Less than 10 years later, beat music crossed over to America, and there's been a music genre crossover happening ever since. According to Mark Masserman, American author of Ska Boom, an American ska and reggae oral history, the first real ska boom happened in 1985 with the release of an EP by New York band The Toasters on their own Moonska label. They and many other bands that followed were influenced by two-tone bands such as The Specials, Madness and The Beat. They also assimilated the two-tone dress style of suits and pork pie hats. The themes of racial harmony, social commentary, including young adult angst, was written into the lyrics of their compositions. And the music also captured that vitality, the passion and energy that defined the two-tone bands of the early 80s. I checked out Manipulator by The Toasters from 1987. The recording follows a two-tone blueprint of upfront drums and bass and energetic brass section. The only way I could tell it was an American recording was the vocal two-part harmony. The track also sounds like it was recorded in one take with an infectious live sound. I looked up a couple of other bands, The Uptones from California and Mustard Plug from Michigan. Formed in the early 90s, they both sound pretty much authentic to me and are worthy imitators who also add their own inimitable American influence. I read that the golden age of two-tone music in the UK and America occurred in the late 90s to early 2000s. I don't know if that's true. It's not important. The ska punk of two-tone never went away, and it's still a viable and popular fusion genre today in America. In April of this year, The Toasters came over to the O2 Music venue in London. You can see an extract of that show on YouTube with a performance at Eastside Beat, and the O2 was packed out with fans having a great time. Oh yeah, without a doubt, American ska is alive and well, and probably coming to a venue near you. Just before I finish up, on the 18th of December, Terry Hall, singer and songwriter in The Specials, passed away. I send my condolences to his family, bandmates, and his legion of fans around the world. He will be sorely missed. Coming up is a track written by Max Ash and Taylor Ortega, produced by Max and Dan Wrights, with Taylor Ortega on vocals and Max Ash on all other instruments. Cry in the Club.
Walk up in the club. It's Friday night, trying to get fucked up. Got my girls by my side.
Hey, bitch.
Looking super hot. All the guys check us out. We do a couple shots and push through the crowd. I head over to the dance floor. The DJ plays my song. My friends ask me what is wrong, because I'm crying, crying in the club. I didn't know I was sad, but it turns out I was. Crying, crying in the club. My life is really hard right now. I'm super overwhelmed. Okay, okay, I'm better. Back to dancing to my song. I got my shit together. Sorry, I don't know what that was. Tonight we're gonna black out and maybe fall in love. Have I ever been in love? What if I never know true love? I head over to the bathroom and lock myself inside it. My dog is gonna die someday. I'm crying, crying in the club. Bottle service and cocaine. Am I bad at my job? Crying, crying in the club. Will I ever be successful? Does my dad as we dance till we die. But what if magic isn't real and no one finds a cure for AIDS and I lose my right to vote because it seems like things are going that way? What if I never go to space and see the world from miles away and contemplate how small I am in the scheme of everything that ever was and ever will be? The club is closing in on me. I feel like I can't breathe. And now I'm sobbing. I'm sobbing in the club. Have I mentioned I'm sorry? Oh, I've said it 30 times. Well, I'm sorry.
That was Crying in the Club, performed and written by Max Ash and Taylor Ortega. On the next episode, my guest will be Joe Harcourt, bass player in country band The Scarbilly Rebels. I'll also be talking about why many UK musicians are considering leaving the industry. And I'll shine a spotlight on the 1980 Sent From Coventry album. I think that's about it. Yeah, it is. I'm done. Till next time.